the most conservative, most sophisticated in any presidential election. If you are putting it on the other hand, that will prove that in the long run, as a person to raise his wages to be. And number two, is this going to come in contest with someone that's been supporting President Ford to contest the effectiveness of organized labor into the campus?
Well, I think no doubt about the organized labor is very effective. You know, they have the manpower and the money, and I've said from the start that this is going to be a test. How much can organized labor produce? They have great influence in the Carter campaign. We'll see what happens next Tuesday. But they are strong. They are effective. They are well-financed. They are, for all practical purposes, a part of the Democrat Party. I don't know. I don't believe so. I think there are a great many working men and women who may be union members who are opposed to gun control, opposed to more federal spending, opposed to more government interference. I just don't believe when they look at the issues they're going to vote for Carter.
Given, of course, Mr. Reyes, which I believe everybody recognizes, it's safe to assume, I believe, that there are some people that are going to make a decision in the booth. What is the thought that you would most like to have supplanted in the mind of that person about to hold a leader?
Well, I would say if it were some young man or mother or father, when I walked in that booth, I would say to myself, well, we're not at war. My son's not off somewhere. If I'm the son, I'm not off somewhere. I can go to school or stay on my job. No one's being drafted. We're strong and respected by our leaders and by our friends and by our adversaries. Because President Ford is respected by our friends and our adversaries. It just seems to me that we can talk about change and we have problems in America. When you add it all up, what's really so wrong with America now? We are at peace. The economy is picking up. We're working on unemployment.
Given those circumstances, sir, particularly the issue of the peace issue, the fact that we're not at war, why is the race so close now?
Well, I don't know. Carter started out some 30 points ahead, and now it's down to an eyelash, I understand. It indicates a couple of things. Of course, Democrats outnumber Republicans, but there are many independents and many conservative Democrats who cannot follow the liberal policies espoused by Governor Carter and Walter Mondale. So I think that may have helped tighten the race. Plus, the president has demonstrated leadership. He is a man of unquestioned honesty and integrity. That means a lot to the American people. Well, I really don't know. All I know is that when the word came, the president asked that someone be alerted, but I haven't looked at what the agency's done or what agency was responsible. I just don't know.
Well, surely nuclear blasts are a very important issue in these times. Is there any kind of policy that the Ford administration is pushing at this time?
Well, I'm certain there is, but I don't know the specifics of that policy, so I wouldn't want to speculate on what the policy is.
Nothing to the effect that perhaps you want to diminish these blasts? Do you have some kind of world policy?
Oh, we need a world policy. In fact, that's one reason we've been opposed to proliferation. You know, that's one reason we'd like to keep control of it and supply some of the needed ingredients so that we just don't have an open market. That we have, of course, no control over what the Chinese may do. But there are now, what, about six countries who have the capability. And we're on good terms with those countries. I think it's very important that we stay that way. And if we're concerned about non-proliferation, we're also trying to work out some new treaty with the Russians. And, it just seems to me that it's in our interest to have a close contact. But as far as how we monitor tests in a place like China, I don't know. I assume there are things that I may not know about it. But they may be doing it, I assume they are doing it rather secretly. It may not be public information. They don't operate in the daylight as we do in the sunshine.
I'm wondering something in front of Jimmy Carter says he has and many plans for the elderly and many programs for the elderly. A lot of people, especially here, where there are a lot of elderly, are losing their homes because they can't afford to pay their taxes, they can't afford to pay their utility bills. What's the Ford administration to have for these people?
Well, I think the first thing, the basic thing, is to slow down the rate of inflation, reduce government spending, so that particularly those on fixed income and senior citizens don't have their purchasing power eroded. In other words, if you have a 10% inflation and you have a $2,000 income a year, you virtually lost $200. In addition, Governor Carter suggested one time that he wouldn't permit taxpayers to deduct the interest they paid on their mortgage. He's since denied that, but if that's a plan, that's one we're opposed to. We've also voted for Social Security increases. The President feels strongly that we must keep that that system fiscally sound. It just seems to me, and he's also advocated catastrophic health insurance to make certain those who need it are protected. So I would say we have a broad program based first on restraint on spending to cut inflation, which affects everyone. It's the cruelest tax of all, whether you're rich, poor, black, white, Spanish-speaking, whatever your economic status is. If we continue the rate of inflation, we're going to be in trouble. And when Governor Carter talks about all the new spending programs, he's either talking about one or two things, increasing inflation or increasing taxes. And I don't believe senior citizens want either. President's moved just recently to reduce the down payment on single-family units. And then I think in the past couple of weeks, Carla Hills, who's the Secretary of HUD, Housing and Urban Development, has moved to reduce the interest payments. That's a start in the right direction. In addition, of course, housing starts are up dramatically over a year ago, which indicates the economy is coming around. And of course, this is another necessity. As everyone knows, $25,000 10 years ago was quite a home. $25,000 now is not such a big place. So I think we have to keep gnawing away at inflation and getting the housing industry stimulated more and also providing for, as I've indicated, you know, smaller down payments and lower interest rates.
Federal law requires that for every dollar spent on public property such as devices and so forth, that $1 is
right, cost-benefit ratio.
Right. However, communities like Wilkes-Barre and St. Louis do derive benefits from that sort of thing, but smaller communities, such as, say, Shoshone or something like that, do not receive their share of the program. What are some of the solutions to actually the situation?
Well, as I understand the program, in other words, to proceed with construction or appropriation or money coming into an area, you've got to show that there's a cost-benefit ratio of, I think, more than 1-to-1. It's got to be more than that. Now, then what they've done in an effort to make it possible in more and more areas, they've included other increments like recreation and other areas that might improve the cost-benefit ratio so we can improve the projects. Now, there comes a point, though, where if the costs are more than the potential benefits, Congress is not going to approve the program unless we change the law.
As we've been winding down to election day, that's a narrow. What do you do with that?
Well, I think as the American people catch on to Carter, you can catch up. There's still time to catch on to Carter, whether it's on gun control or abortion or mortgage interest payments or taxing church property or raising taxes for middle-income Americans. seems to me that he's got a long way to go to convince the American people in 7 days that he really has a firm position on these matters. I'll admit my bias, but I think President Ford has done an outstanding job. We are at peace. And for the mothers and fathers and young sons who may be viewing this short interview, I'd certainly keep that in mind. We're at peace because we're strong. Strong for one reason. That's for a peaceful world.
Very briefly, abortion.
I support the Republican platform, the constitutional amendment. It's in our platform. It's public information. Governor Carter's opposed to a constitutional amendment. So is Senator Mondale. It's a clear choice, a very clear choice. Same thing. The Democrat platform calls for control, registration, licensing, handguns. We're opposed to that. Very clear choice.
No, they're breaking the wind for it, Senator.
Hi,
Carol.
Do you think that the President Ford's remark about Eastern Europe will have any effect on the outcome of the election? And if not, why are you visiting the Polish Falcons here near East Bend?
Well, I don't think it'll have any impact on the outcome. I think we're going to win the election, and we're going to carry the state of Pennsylvania. But we're out working for votes. This is a very important state, and I think he has a good record as far as Eastern Europe is concerned. I'll be visiting with some of the Polish leaders later on this morning.
Was that scheduled before or after the debate?
Oh, all this has been scheduled after the second debate. You know, we're very flexible this week. We even added one last night that wasn't on the schedule.
Senator, your Republican people from Philadelphia were in yesterday trying to arrange a local effort to make sure there's no vote fraud in the area and around the country. And I want to know if you have any genuine fears yourself that vote fraud could take away a close election from the Republicans.
Oh, I haven't thought about it much, but I think it's something you want to be alert to, both the Republicans and Democrats. I assume the Democrats are trying to make certain that everything is on the up and up. That's really what it's all about.
You're not worried about another 1960 with perhaps a last-minute unexplained votes in Democratic areas?
Well, you always worry about those things. 1960 was one of those years where in Illinois and Texas maybe a recount could have made a difference, but that's not my department. I'm going to be out voting, not checking on those who vote.
You're not worried about it this year?
Oh, I'm worried about anything that might affect the election, but I haven't stayed awake at night.
Senator, the British pound.
You criticized Governor Carter for saying he would make friends with the Italian communists. What's wrong with that?
I'd rather make friends with the non-communists.
Well, President Ford is making friends with the Soviets and making friends with the Chinese, so what's wrong with making
friends
with
the Italians? Italy has been taken over yet by the communists. I don't want to encourage it.
Why would that encourage it, Senator?
Well, I think it's an obvious, if you extend the hand of friendship to the Communist Party, I don't think it discourages it.
Senator, the British pound dropped under $1.60 yesterday, and the British government says they may have to drop out of NATO unless something is done, a special loan from the IMF. What's President Ford going to do about this, and is he going to save NATO?
I don't know. I don't know what President Ford's going to do about that. I haven't discussed it with him. But I think
it's an important thing to discuss with him in this campaign at this particular juncture.
Oh, I don't know. It may be. I saw a little newscast on it this morning. It does point up, as the Prime Minister said, that unemployment and inflation are twin evils. The Labor Party recognizes some of the problems they've had are based on some of the spending programs, but I haven't discussed that with President Ford.
Senator Dole, you've been criticizing Governor Carter, saying that he's been ducking issues, and you've been citing as evidence his saying that he would not support constitutional amendments on a number of issues. First of all, how is that ducking issues to say he would not support constitutional amendments? And secondly, on which of those issues would you support constitutional amendments?
I would support one on, in fact, I think I'm co-sponsored one on a balanced budget. I think that was one. I've said I would support a constitutional amendment on abortion. That's two. I would support a constitutional amendment on school prayer. That's three. The other two were what? What, gun control?
Busing.
Gun control.
Busing, I think I voted for an amendment on busing.
Well, Senator, as a
gun
member
control. Gun control, I never heard of that one until it was raised the other night. I don't think that's necessary.
Senator, you criticized Governor Carter for his comments about Yugoslavia and what he would not do then. What would you do if the Soviets invaded Yugoslavia?
I don't know, but I wouldn't tell him in advance. I would do nothing.
You have no idea what you would do yourself. You just say you don't know.
First thing I'd do is remain militarily strong. I wouldn't be out whacking the defense budget $15 billion or $5 to $7 billion or have a running mate who votes against all new weapon systems and votes for every cut in defense spending. I'd remain strong. That's the first thing I would do, but I wouldn't telegraph in advance. So don't worry about us. We're not going to do anything.
Would you consider sending American troops into Yugoslavia if the Soviets...
I think I covered that in the speech. The answer is no, but I wouldn't tell them in advance what I had in mind.
Thanks.
Isn't that
Senator,
telling it in advance, Senator, by
Pardon?
Saying no? Isn't that telling it in advance? You just said no?
I'm going to remain strong, and I'm not going to tip my hand in advance. He's already told them months and months and years in advance what he will not do or will do.
Well, you just said you wouldn't send troops in, Senator.
Is that true, Senator? Is that what you meant by saying no? What did you mean by no? Because you did not say no in the speech and not in the version that
I... I think I did. Where is it? I'll just look at it.
You just said no now, though. Isn't that tipping your hand?
I'll just say it to clarify it for you, Margo, that I'm not going to say in advance what I would do, and that's my answer.
Senator, you said yesterday that Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale want a weak America. Do you really think...
I know I say they would weaken America.
Would weaken America. Do you think they're deliberately setting out to weaken America, or do you think it's just an honest difference of opinion on priorities?
I think it's a difference of opinion on priorities, but I think it's a very marked difference on priorities, and it just seems to me that I haven't seen any evidence of any cuts in Russia, the People's Republic of China. I know Senator Mondale's record is probably the worst record in the Senate as far as anti-defense votes are concerned. If that's a policy they're going to adopt in the new administration, if there should be a Carter administration, we're not going to be a very strong America.
Senator,
thank you very much.
The New York Times called you a presidential choice too painful to dwell upon. What do you think about that?
Oh, they've said that ever since the day I was selected. I don't consider the New York Times very objective as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, by Republican leaders here, you have also been called whimsical. Are you a whimsical man? Should a whimsical man be president?
Oh, I think sometimes we take ourselves too seriously in public life, and I think probably we get along all right.
Thank you very much.
We understand the importance of the great state of Pennsylvania. In fact, at this very moment, I think President Ford is in Pittsburgh, and I'm in Erie, and we're probably back in Pennsylvania, one of us, at least one more time before next Tuesday. And a week from the day, it's all going to be over, and the decision is going to be made by the American people. I think they'll make the right decision because we're concerned about a strong America. We're concerned about young men like the one in the front row, and we're concerned about your right to speak and your right to be heard. And all in all, it's going to be a great day for America when President Ford's elected next Tuesday, and I really appreciate that. We've heard a lot in recent days about candidates not sticking to the issues. Well, I intend to stick to one issue here today. And the first half of that issue is why we can't afford to elect Governor Carter as our next president. The other half is why we must elect Gerald Ford to continue as our president. And there are two sides of the same coin that we call American foreign policy and defense. Now, Mr. Carter may be a nice, decent, honest, trustworthy man. At least he tells us he is. What he doesn't tell us, and what is also true, is that he's a very naive man. Naive and inexperienced in the conduct of foreign policy. Today, liberal Democrats have been fighting to cut our defenses, to abandon our allies in South Korea and Taiwan, and to leave Europe unguarded. It isn't just that Mr. Carter has twice advocated cutting our defense budget by $15 billion. It isn't just that he picked as his running mate a man whose every defense vote would weaken America. It is more. Mr. Carter, out of innocence or ignorance, or an uncontrollable impulse to shoot from the hip, is advocating foreign policy positions that would mean disaster for this nation and for the free world. He has learned nothing from history, nothing from the mistakes of the past,
or else he doesn't care. As a potential president, he has tipped his hand to enemies and to potential enemies alike, telling them in advance what he will or will not do if he becomes president. This is no way to conduct our foreign policy. It is no way to keep America strong. It is no way to provide leadership for the free world. And let me cite the latest and most flagrant example of Mr. Carter's innocence in his public declaration of how he would handle a crisis regarding Yugoslavia and the Soviet Union. Mr. Carter said, and I quote, "I would not go to war in Yugoslavia even if the Soviet Union sent in troops." Now, nobody wants to go to war in Yugoslavia or anywhere else. And I was asked by the press as I got off the plane just a minute ago if I would send troops to Yugoslavia. And let me be certain that everyone understands my position. I would never tip my hand to our adversaries in the conduct of our foreign policy and the conduct of our defense policy, and that's the issue. Governor Carter has tipped his hands, and we do not intend to tip our hand. Let me say one more thing. I would talk to the young men and, yes, the mothers and grandmothers in this audience, and the grandfathers and the fathers, too, for that matter. There's been a lot of campaign talk, a lot of rhetoric. Who's the best qualified to be president? I've been stressing the issue of peace, and I would only say this. I would say that young men are no longer being drafted. They're not having their schooling interrupted. They're not taken from their work. They're not being sent to some far-off country to fight some battle or some war that we really don't understand. I see what's wrong with being at peace in the world. What's wrong with President Ford's leadership that has brought us peace? I think it's fantastic. But I'm afraid that Governor Carter has told the Soviet Union more about himself and his foreign policy than he has told the American people. Six presidents have considered the independence of Yugoslavia to be a major American interest, but not Mr. Carter. Six presidents have also said that the United States will never be reconciled to Soviet rule in Eastern and Central Europe. Yet Mr. Carter says a revolt by any of these oppressed peoples against the Soviet Union would be considered an internal affair of the nations involved. And no wonder our military and our State Department, no wonder our allies are aghast at the thought of Mr. Carter becoming president. You don't tip your hand in international diplomacy where lives and freedom are often the stakes. But Mr. Carter has done it, not just once with Yugoslavia, but several times. It wasn't long ago, for example, that he rattled his economic sabers against the Arab oil producers, declaring that as president he would declare an economic war against them in the event of another oil embargo. Even if that were the way to go, to say so beforehand leaves little room for bargaining and a lot of room for backtracking. And once again, Mr. Carter was a victim of his own inexperience in a crucial area of the presidency. Governor Carter suggested we should make friends with the Italian communists, the implication being that NATO, which Italy is a part, need not be concerned should communists come to control one of its members. And the long record of communist duplicity toward those who trusted them speaks for itself. It's too bad Mr. Carter is not heard. But fortunately, in the United States, and for this country, the Italian communists were again rejected in Italy's last election. Another indication of Governor Carter's inability to grasp the significance of foreign relations is his recent statement, and I quote, "We must move to secure agreement with the Soviet Union on a quick freeze on the number of atomic missiles and warheads, on total throwaway, and a qualitative weapons involvement." What Governor Carter doesn't understand, because he has no experience in this area, is that he is talking about pie in the sky. In a classic understatement the other day, Defense Secretary Don Rumsfeld said, "In these negotiations, the Soviets are very reluctant to give unilateral advantage to the United States on anything." Secretary Rumsfeld was commenting particularly on Governor Carter's statement, which suggested again naively that the Soviet Union might somehow willingly let America get well ahead in the numbers of missiles and multiple warheads. Now, I've been talking issues here today because I believe the American people have a right to know. I write to know how Governor Carter stands on defense and foreign policy matters, just as they have a right to know where President Ford stands. And let me say as I started, and let me say very seriously, because it's very serious business we're about. We are at peace in the world. We have fantastic and outstanding leadership in President Ford. We have a strong America, strong for the sake of peace. Is there anything wrong, as I said, with being at peace? I don't think so. I think America wants peace. We are the leader of the free world. So you have the choice. You have the choice next Tuesday. I think you're going to make that choice for America. Make that choice for the free world. Make that choice for all those everywhere who seek freedom and who seek liberty. So I just ask you to work. Work for 7 more days for the election of President Ford. Thank you very much. Never heard of.